Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We live in homes packed with electrical devices. Think about it, the tellies, the phone chargers, the fridges, the lights, the works. Practically everything that we use in our home is powered by electricity. But how many of us actually think about what's really going on behind the plug socket? And why do some appliances trip the fuse and others don't? They're really well behaved. Why are those who pay the electricity bill obsessed with turning off the immersion? Well, to explain the science of what is happening behind the light switch, I'm joined now by physicist Dr. Shane Bergen, who is Associate Professor at the UCD School of Education. Hello, Shane.
Good morning.
Pushing us to think about things that we use every day that we don't think enough about.
Absolutely.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, all our homes are, like, it isn't just cement and mortar. There's so much behind those walls that keep our modern lives going. And perhaps the most devilish of them all is the electricity system. So when anyone goes into a room and turns on the light switch, to think about what's happening as you do that. Effectively, you're connecting your light bulb into the national grid, which is like a pressurized system. So people often think of, when I turn on the switch, power is coming all the way from the power station down through the wires to reach my house and kind of sending a little bit of power to turn on that light. That's kind of not what happens. What's actually happening is you're tapping into a system that's kept under a very steady rate. So the very, very smart people that maintain our national grid, they really are clever the way they do it. And what they're doing is they're maintaining a very steady pressure so that when you switch on your light, it's allowing some of that pressure into the circuit to keep your lights on and to power it up. When I talk about pressure, I'm kind of giving you imagine it's almost like water, except it's not. Within the electricity system, we're relying on something called the electron, right? So the electron is a particle that sweeps around the center of atoms. Atoms make up everything. Certain atoms, called metals, have loose electrons. And if you give them a certain nudge, they can move back and forth. And that's how we harness the power of electricity. It's effectively a flow of electrons.
So if we think of it, if I think of it, a running tap, and if I'm putting something into the flow of water, it suddenly starts working. We're tapping into a current that's constantly flowing, as you say.
Absolutely. We use that term current when it comes to water as well, and it's analogous when it comes to electricity. The degree to which we push it in our electricity system is called voltage. So the voltage that you might see the V on certain symbols at home, that's the pushing power. The stuff itself that you're actually pushing is the current, that's the electrons. And the capacity of the system to push back is called the resistance. And the combination of those things are the alphabet of how we make up our modern electricity system. And the rest is engineering, and it's really complex, but it builds on that basic physics.
Right. So when we plug into that current, the current has to be at the right voltage.
Yes, absolutely.
For things to work properly. Otherwise, we're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah. And you might know that when in Ireland, we have a system that's relying on 230 volts.
Well, explain that to me.
Yeah. So the power that arrives to your house comes in at a steady 230 volts. It's the pushing force of the electricity into your house. And you rely on that. Then you harness that power to power everything from your kettle, your telly, your phone charger, your lights, etc. You have to be able to tap into it. It's the pushing force. But the power to come from the power station to your house gets sent with a much higher pushing force. So if you see around the country these huge cables, these high tension cables that are sending power from power stations to our homes, they're under huge voltages. So thousands, hundreds of thousands of volts, they have to be stepped down as they approach our houses. That's why we have these transforming stations, so that they don't effectively fry everything in the house. If you were to take your kettle and plug it into the national grid, one of those big wires out in a field that you'd see behind your house, the whole thing would just blow up because it's way too much pushing, right? It'd be like sticking all of the cars on the M50 onto a little bylane and see what'll happen. You know, the thing would be under pressure.
So it's very important that 230 volts is maintained going into our homes.
Yeah, and that's the tricky bit. So every time you plug something into the grid, it draws a little bit away from it. So the people that maintain electricity grids in Ireland have to know exactly how much electricity to provide at any time to try and match demand. So the famous one, of course, when we all used to watch television at the same time, was when people would get up at the ad during Coronation Street or EastEnders and flick on the kettle, there'd be a surge in the national grid because so many people would be plugging in at the same time. So they had to sort of predict these demands and throw in extra generation at certain times to keep the whole thing steady so that they keep the pressure steady at a steady 230 volts.
You'd only get that demand now during a big match.
Absolutely, yeah.
Our viewing habits have changed so much. All countries then don't have the same sort of electricity supply, do they?
No, it's madness, isn't it, right? And we see this all the time. You know, you go to the United States and you bring a device like your hairdryer or something like that and you plug it in and it's just not going anywhere, right? Or you might notice they don't have kettles in the United States when you visit. It's all because they have a different voltage. They have 110 volts as opposed to 230 volts.
Much lower.
Much, much lower. So it takes a lot longer to boil a kettle over there, which is why they don't use them. And your hairdryer would work very weakly over there. It's all historical, the differences between these systems, because they were all set up independently in a somewhat ad hoc way. Edison was, of course, the famous person who introduced the electricity system in the United States. He built the system to sell his own light bulbs, which relied on 110 volts. So he was selling the power for his own machines. And they just kept going with the 110 volts. When Europe eventually caught up, we were able to have kind of slightly smarter devices and we went with the 230 volts. So a lot more bang for your buck, except the whole thing doesn't blow up. It's kind of a balance between giving it a little bit more push, which we have here in Europe, and in the United States, a lower push, which would result in slightly safer electricity. But of course, we make up for that by having different types of plugs in Europe. And of course,
people, is that why? Because of the different voltage we have different plugs?
Yeah, partially. And it's also just regulatory. So
it's a right pain when you're traveling.
Goodness. I think I counted 15 different types of plugs, right? And you see people in airports around the world frantically looking to get the right one as they remember that they're not going to be able to plug in their phone charger when they're abroad. We're in a unique kind of a minnow category when it comes to our plugs. We're type G. So we share our plugs with the UK and other UK colonies like Gibraltar, Malta, Malaysia and Singapore. So we're really in a small kind of group. But they say that our plugs are amongst the safest of all of them because there's a fuse built in, which is like a protection system in the plug that would prevent your device from catching fire or blowing up.
Yeah, because when you're using the two-prong plugs, you do feel that they're a little more, I don't know, they're
flimsy.
Not as stable really as the three-prong. Am I right? Do you feel that as well?
Absolutely.
Is that because of the fuse issue?
Yeah, so in the US there wouldn't be fuses built into plugs naturally, but all of our plugs have a fuse built in. If anyone's ever changed a plug, they'll know there's a little cylinder in there called a fuse. And what happens is it basically it's like a gate, and if too much current, if too many electrons come through the plug to feed the device, the fuse will melt and it'll cut off the electricity. And the reason that it has to do that is if too much current goes into your device, it can overheat and it can cause an electrical fault and cause a fire. And electrical faults are a very common reason for domestic fires. So it's really important that people buy good appliances that are well regulated, particularly phone chargers. I think these are ones that we often think you get a great deal for €2. They're not necessarily as safe as the ones that you might get that are a little bit more legitimate, particularly if you buy them abroad. I bought one recently on holidays because I was stuck. I brought it home. I plugged it back in. I was tapping it to plug it out. And it's like, that's really warm. So I got rid of it.
That's not a good sign.
No, not a good sign if it's very, very warm.
So when you describe the fuse melting in the plug and so on, are you describing the power tripping in a house?
Yeah, so as well as having these circuit breakers in the plugs themselves, our homes also have the big fuse board.
Yeah.
Right, and we'll all know this from if we plug in too many heaters, if you have a party and you're drawing too much power out of the mains, the house can basically say, no, that's too much. It's getting dangerous now, so we're going to trip the system. So
and someone has to go down to the fuse box and see which one is tripped. And,
absolutely. And then get the sweeping brush and and shove it back up. But of course, the extra step is thinking, what's doing it? You know, why
and
is
that,
this happening?
Well, that can be a problem as well, trying to find out which damn appliance has caused this thing to trip.
And invariably, it's something that draws a lot of power. Anything that evaporates water in your house, like your tumble dryer or indeed your kettle or an electric shower, they're going to draw a huge amount of power from your system. And of course, the famous immersion heater.
Oh yeah, tell me about that now, because anyone who had an immersion heater or has one now will know that the bill payer is very focused on switching it off quickly. Yeah,
absolutely. So not every appliance in our house is made equally. And the immersion heater is the granddaddy of them all, right? Second perhaps only to the electric shower. The immersion heater draws a huge amount of power. So that is categorized by something called the wattage, right? So the amount of juice that it requires. So things that are heavy on electricity. Anything involved in heating water tends to be in this category. And the immersion is the biggest one, because you're heating hundreds of litres of water up to a temperature that you could bathe in. So about 60 degrees or something like that would be your hot water tank. And if you put this device on, 3,500 watts would be the typical rating for an immersion. And you leave it on for an hour, right? You are using up a huge amount of electricity, a whopping proportion of your daily use, just to heat that water. If you make the mistake of leaving it on, right, then you're accumulating this cost. So our electricity bills come in a unit. It's really confusing. I'm a physicist and I look at them and I still have to think about them. I think sometimes it's intentionally confusing. So they're so-called kilowatt hours, KWH. That means the amount of power that's been drawn over an hour, and they charge us per unit. So I looked up my own rate. It's 30-something cent per kilowatt hour. And if I leave my immersion heater on for 1 hour, it uses 1 kilowatt hour, right, times 3,500 watts. So it's a whopping amount of juice. I did a rough back of the envelope calculation, and I reckon if you were unfortunate enough to go on holidays for 2 weeks leaving your immersion on, your electricity bill would be an additional €70 plus VAT. Mm. Now, if you happen to live in a house where somebody leaves hot taps on as well, we all know people that do this, your electricity bill could be north of €500 extra plus VAT because of the amount of power that's required. People that have smart meters, I heard your piece on Friday.
Yeah, we were talking to Alan Smeaton about it.
Yeah, you can do an awful lot of investigation at home yourself now to see how much juice different things are using. I was doing it with my father-in-law just yesterday. He got solar panels on the roof, and in any day at the moment, he's generating enough electricity to run everything in the house and send stuff back to the grid, and he's getting credit. But we can see as things are switched on and off how much power they're using. The one that maxed the machine out was the electric shower. It was by far the heaviest. The one after that was the immersion heater. And so we can see as things are switched on, you can see how much extra juice is being used. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Are his solar panels not heating his water for him? Why does he need an immersion?
So he doesn't at the moment have the inverter. I know a lot of people do, right, where you can just immediately heat. But effectively, if you switch it on to your immersion in the short term, it's kind of doing the same thing in an indirect way. But the real benefit I see is that he's getting credit for the excess power, probably enough to do them over the winter. And so it goes back into the mains.
Right. Oh, I just assumed that the credit was so small that it didn't make a blind bit of difference. But you're
not
saying it's material amount.
It is material amount. Mm. I and it's part of a community of other people in a rural part of the country that have changed their systems. They all have solar panels. They're part of a WhatsApp group going, so they're able to talk about it. In my view, this is how things change. It's local communities talking to one another in a way that they know each other, they trust each other, and they're making sense of grand policies that are coming from them above in Dublin, as people would say, right? That's how change happens. It's these small things, but it is real, and it's an actual amount. You know, it's not kind of cents or a couple of euros. It's a real amount.
I want to ask you another basic question now about an immersion. What does the immersion do once it has reached the temperature? It has heated the water up to the temperature that is required and it's left on. What is it trying to maintain the water at that temperature so it keeps reheating?
Yeah, so it will take an hour or so, as we all know, to heat up to a full tank, and then it clicks off. So once it gets to a certain temperature, it'll click off the power supply, and then it'll keep testing the temperature until the temperature of the water drops, and then it'll click in again. So it is not an efficient system,
it's lethal.
To leave them on, because no matter how good your insulation is, it will lose heat, right? Because the room around it is not at 60 degrees. So it'll lose heat to your hot press. So it's like my granny used to do this, and I used to be at pains telling her, please turn it off, because you think you're doing yourself a favor by just keeping it topped up, but you're really not. You're just using a continuous low level of power. People obsess about the immersion. In other families, people obsess about lights, right? Years ago, 100 watt bulb was the currency, right? A bright bulb was 100 watts. Since then, right, we have LED bulbs, radically different. You see 100 watt in them on the label in the shop, but it's not really 100 watts anymore. It's the equivalent of 100 watts.
It's giving you that light, but it's not using as much power.
So it's only about 10 watts or 15 watts. So I reckon if you leave a light on, the equivalent of a 100 watt bulb in an LED nowadays, it's costing you just a couple of cents for the whole day.
Stop turning the lights off. Can we get this message out? Because I love having the lights on. I know it's criminal at this time of the year, but, you know, can we stop turning the lights off?
Well, I think, like, you
keep
know,
the immersion off.
The immersion, yeah. We're talking thousands of times the difference in the power usage, right? Between the immersion, the kettle, the electric shower, right? If you want to save money on your bill, have shorter showers, right? Would probably be, if you have an electric shower, probably be the thing. Or as we heard from your columnist on Friday, just change plan. Maybe try and get a better deal or get a solar panel.
But as Alan was explaining to us, it can be hard to decipher what's going on in your smart meter. But he had that clever little tool where if you download your data.
Oh, I did it. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did it work for you?
Absolutely. Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I know he's another academic, but as I looked at it, I was like, who are these people to ask me for my data? And when you told us and the other listeners who they were and what they were doing, I was like, okay, they're not looking for commercial gain out of this.
No, they're not getting any. This is a research project that they're doing. And they've discovered a great thing. And I better find the address now of the website because people will be on to me. I'll find it before I say it.
It was Alex something or other, all right.
Yeah, dash tariffs. But I'm going to get it now because I know people will want to know. But you think that it was worth it anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. We could all be a little bit cleverer when it comes to these things. And I'm also a little bit cautious about too many smart devices in my house that seemingly have brains, but they all require way too much power for me. Just be sensible, turn things off as you need them. Yeah. But I'm uncertain about giving too much of my data about usage of things to companies.
Right.
Yeah, so when it comes to all these so-called smart devices in our houses that are meant to be reducing our electricity draw, I'm a little bit sceptical about them.
And yes, like the air fryer that wants to know all of your business.
Absolutely,
on an app.
Yeah.
So now I have the website, Alan Smeaton's website, which Shane has now used for us. So look, we have two academics on this here and it does work. So it's electtariffs.ie, and I'm going to spell that for you. So elec is E-L-E-C, and then you have a hyphen or a dash, tariffs, tariffs.ie, and the site will explain it to you, but you need to download your smart meter data and then it'll find the best plan for you based on your usage. And it's a clever little thing and worth doing.
And it's only the beginning. I think in the next couple of years we're going to see smarter grids, because so many of us will be generating electricity as well as drawing it. We're going to need a very, very clever system that'll have redundancy. The solution to the big problem in Storm Éireann is not generators. It is redundancy in the system, so that if one part goes down, there is a capacity in the system to get around the so-called breaks in our.
Can we save it? Can we store it?
Well, that's another thing. So we also have to invest properly in energy storage. So I see companies now that are taking recycled electric car batteries, right? Not good enough for your electric car anymore, but perfectly fine in a stacked way to keep your power topped up at home.
Fascinating. Thank you very much, Shane. And I'm glad we can keep the lights on. Shane Bergen there. Coming up, the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer is going to launch an inquiry into child sexual exploitation in England and Wales, having previously said that he would not. We'll find out why the U-turn after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.